The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 10 minutes past 10 o'clock. Our guest in the studio today is Eldon Preston with the Thumb Works. He's the Business Services Liaison.
That's correct.
Ooh, fancy name.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about some of the events coming up that they have scheduled in the area for agribusiness to start off with. So what basically do you have early next month that people need to know about and sign up for?
Yes, on December 5th, which is a Wednesday from 4 to 7 p.m., we have our agribusiness pitch and catch trade show.
Now, that sounds like a sporting event more than a, you know, it's like a punt, pass, and kick or something.
Well, it may be a new sporting event here in the Thumb, but it's really pretty cool. We've tried this concept a couple of months ago for manufacturing, and what we do is we invite Thumb area companies to, they'll have 10 minutes to give a presentation. They pitch what their company produces, what they source, and then we have other companies from all over the state come and listen to that and make connections with our Thumb area companies to help them grow, help them increase their sales, and just do that networking and help the connections to grow around the state and with the Thumb.
Is it simply a talk? Do they bring props? I mean, you know, it's if you're making a pitch, sometimes you gotta ingrain it in their brains a little bit, and sometimes visuals help.
Oh, definitely. They can bring any kind of props that they would like. Each of the companies that are pitching will have a, you know, 6-foot banquet table where they can then set up whatever kind of display they want. They can bring any kind of materials, samples, video, you know, projectors and the display, you know, videos of what their company does. They also will be given some private meeting room space so that if they meet someone that they really want to talk some serious business with but don't want too many other ears listening in, they can go.
They're called competitors.
sometimes, yeah. And so there, yeah, they have that private space. We also will have additional spaces for people to set up displays that aren't necessarily interested in giving a whole 10-minute presentation, but they want to have a display there and they want to have a presence. And
but for most, it's a both kind of thing.
You do the display,
then, but you also give the presentation. Then they come around to the display if they're interested and get more info and do the meet and greet and the handshakes and start the wheels rolling as far as building a relationship.
Exactly.
And face-to-face usually works better in these things. I mean, we do a lot over the internet and a lot of it online and through packaging and mail and stuff, but
sure,
nothing beats sitting down talking to a person just to get a feel for them.
No. Internet is great, but you're absolutely right that there is no substitute for the face-to-face interaction, the real live personal contact. It's far superior to any of the electronic media formats.
I'm so glad to hear someone say that, because everybody wants you on Facebook and all this stuff, and it's like you can control what you want to say there. When you're meeting somebody and you have to exchange back and forth, they get a better picture of how you work.
Oh, most absolutely. And they get to know who you are as a person, because for someone to buy your product, they have to know you as an individual. They buy your company before they buy your product. And it's that face-to-face interaction that really gives them a personalized feel of, hey, this is someone that I'd like to do business with.
Now, you did the first one with manufacturing, but this one is agriculture.
Yes.
So what kind of people are you trying to bring to this?
Well, we are looking at agriculture not just as farming, but everything that ties into farming. Because agribusiness is, I mean, it's the second largest industry in our state, and it involves so many different areas. And so we're not limited. This is not strictly limited to farmers, you know, presenting what they grow and then buyers purchasing that. It's anything related to agribusiness. We've got a really wide, diverse group of companies that are coming. And so we are hoping to have anyone in the audience that touches agribusiness in any way, shape, or form, if it's farmers, if it is processors, distributors, people that sell the inputs, you know, the chemicals, the machinery, the equipment, anything that touches agribusiness in any way, shape, or form, that's who we're inviting to this, to either come in and present and also to come be in the audience.
because it's not just to have the people there with their what they have to offer. You need to invite the people there that need the services, that need the products, that need all of this to be there to see what's available, what might work better, what might fit better in your marketing plans, what's less transportation. All these things have to come into play.
Exactly. And we're looking for a two-way process, not necessarily just, you know, what can I sell, but maybe what can I find a supplier to purchase that might be more cost-effective for me to source this, maybe something else that might work better for me. So it's both ways, both to sell and to purchase.
And do you assist in any way in facilitating, you know, gee, I kind of need this kind of service, who should I see, these types of things? Because, you know, you may not be able to hit all the presentations, you may get there a little late, and, you know, you'd want to make sure that what you're looking for, if it's there, you can find it.
Yes. What we do is all of the companies that are participating, we have them complete a one-page company profile. And it's basic information, what their company, you know, produces, what they source, who their major customers are, who their major suppliers are, just a description of what, you know, basic, what is at the core of what they do. We put that together into a packet, and we give that packet to everyone that's in attendance. So if they do miss a presentation, they at least will get the profile with all the contact information, what the company does, what they need, what they sell. And but other than that, what we do is our goal is to get a bunch of business people together in one room and then us get out of the way and let business happen. That's let them talk. And
because it comes down to the fact that businesses have to do their thing. I mean, it's not for any service agency. It's not for anybody else to do. You can facilitate it. You can bring people together. That's a nice thing to do. Yeah. The thing is that they have to do their own, because in the end, they have to come up to agreements and live with them.
Absolutely. And so when we did this with the manufacturing, every company that was there said they got at least a couple good new contacts, good new leads. Several of them had probably new business deals that were going to come about because of that. And we don't foresee any less coming about with this.
Do you get feedback? I mean, do you seek feedback from these people? You know, how many people did you contact? Just to get an idea of whether it's working or not, because you can see everybody happy and milling around, and if nothing comes of it, then it's like, you know, we could go into other areas and maybe get a better bang for our buck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We seek feedback from every person that is participating, from whatever level, you know, they are participating at, if they are presenting, if they have a booth, or if they're just in attendance. We get all the feedback that we can. We contact them after the fact, and we've gotten some really good feedback and some very good positive results.
Now, obviously, you know what firms are coming. Do you need to know if, you know, people who may not be having a presentation but want to see some of this, do you need to know how many are coming? You're talking about having these packets for them and stuff. You're going to need to know how many to print, how many to have on hand, if you're going to have to pull, you know, your hairs out and go, geez, this place isn't big enough, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we would welcome anyone that would come, you know, on a walk-in basis. Anyone that has any interest or any connection to agriculture, please come. If you would contact us ahead of time, like you're saying, to give us an idea of how many to expect, you know, that would be appreciated, but we're definitely not going to turn anybody away. If anyone is interested in coming to hear, you know, what our agribusiness community has to offer, if you want to come and make some, and that's what we'd like to invite you, is many people in the community to come and be a part of this networking event. We'd like to have standing room only in our building, and we will not turn anyone away, but if they would RSVP, that would make it a little bit easier, but we're not going to turn anybody away if they don't. So,
you brought a lot of materials here. Is some of this online if they want to see who's coming, if they have a particular area they're looking at, or do you just need to call and get on the list and come?
The basic information about the event is online. I do not believe all of the listing of all the companies that are coming is online.
Because that's in flux as you keep getting more and stuff, so you don't want to limit yourself and say, I looked too early and missed out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're working on adding more companies every day as far as the companies that are going to have display booths there. display tables. You know, the more the merrier. We're not turning any company away that wants to come and display, you know, what they do and what they have to offer.
And do the companies have to seek you out? I would wonder, you know, if there was a thing like, you know, if you went out soliciting, you know, why didn't you pick my business? You picked theirs. You get that kind of competition and headache coming back at you, too.
We do both. We have been contacting
because you
as
have
many
people you've
of
worked with in the past, and obviously, exactly. You know, you have a relationship there. You let them know what's happening, that type of thing. But
yeah, we have contacted, I don't have an exact number, but all around the state from the various contacts that we have, probably close to 700 different agriculture-related businesses, be it farm suppliers, manufacturers related to farming products. But we've contacted close to 700 businesses so far, and we'll continue doing that up and right up until the day of the event.
That's getting you close to where they start logging you as a possible spammer.
It's not all email. A lot of it's phone, some of it's in person. We use all the different channels to make contacts.
And what type of businesses do you have thus far coming? I mean, if people have an idea of what's going to be there, because I imagine it's a wide variety. We have, you know, Michigan is second to California, I believe, in the diversity of our agriculture, and the diversity in the thumb is quite extensive as well. We all think of corn and sugar beets and dry beans, but there's a lot of other things that happen in the thumb as well.
Oh, absolutely. We have, and with this agribusiness trade show, we have a really wide variety, so it's going to be really good for the people. Just some of the companies that are coming that are giving their pitches, their 10-minute pitches, we have Mrs. Glee's Gluten-Free Foods, which they produce, they mill their own gluten-free flour, and they produce a whole line of gluten-free pastas and baked goods, all for people that have that gluten allergy. And it's a huge market, and they'll be there. Smith's Alpaca Acres, which is, obviously it's an alpaca farm, so they...
They don't bring any animals, do they?
Well, I mean, no.
But I mean, no livestock at the event. Then.
No livestock at the event, but there'll probably be some of the yarn and some of the wool that will be there from the alpacas, and maybe some socks or whatever they make from the alpaca wool. But you know, they make a whole line of products from the alpaca wool. The Ray Robb Farms, that is a large organic produce grower, and so they will be there. Summit Aerosports, they produce a line of, I guess you would call them ultralight aircraft. They're the type that are, you know, are you familiar with them?
I was just backing up to like the organic growing and the gluten-free organic. These are things, you know, we normally don't think of agriculture, but things restaurants may want to look at. I mean, this is, you know, we're talking agriculture here, but restaurants use agricultural products, so
absolutely.
I mean, they can, you know, if they want a specialty on their menu, if they want to go more organic and be able to tout that in their menus. I mean, these are people you can contact and maybe get some connections.
Absolutely, and I've also heard that in the foodie movement, that one of the up and coming things is they like to go to restaurants where they use locally sourced food, and then on the menu it'll say, you know, the beef. From this came from such and such farm. Here's where they were at in our county, and here's the address. And
it saves you from having to listen to all the recall stuff on the news to see if you're wondering if what you're eating came from there.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, so that's listeners may not think of this, but if you're a restaurant owner, or if you manage or own one of the local grocery stores, please come to this, because you might find some local product that you can source and you can sell and help local thumb area businesses and sell it in your store or serve it in your restaurant.
And help differentiate you from everybody else because you have these things available.
Exactly. So many people are looking for locally grown produce, locally grown meat and dairy products. And it's that industry is growing. The desire to have locally grown, not necessarily organic, but naturally grown even, is huge, and it's really expanding.
And people are also just looking to support their neighbor as opposed to, you know, Lord knows where it comes from.
Definitely. And that's the thing. In the economy today, we have to support each other. You know, I mean, Michigan is coming back, and we are, you know, growing and we're doing well. But that's because we support each other and because we help each other out and we support each other's business. And we need to continue to do that.
I kind of got you off track. You were talking about aerospace, the ultralight type of things. How is that agriculture related? Do people mm-hmm. use this to manage their crops? Do they scare their cows into the barn for milking by buzzing them? I don't know.
Could do that, but their purpose in promoting this to agribusiness is to inspect their crops from the air. But these ultralight aircraft, they're basically a giant parachute with... To me, when I've seen them flying, it looks like you're sitting almost in a go-kart with a propeller on the back, and there's a parachute up, and that's kind of what these are. They don't require an aircraft operator's license, whatever the licensing is, to fly an airplane. They don't require any licensing. They don't require much of an airstrip. And so it's something that, you know, a farmer that doesn't want to go through all the hassle of becoming licensed and putting an airstrip and buying a expensive airplane and all the fuel and all that, they could have this little... ultralight aircraft, and they can fly around and check their crops and without going through all that extra hassle and expense. And so it's kind of neat. It's like I said, we're not keeping it in the box. We're thinking outside of the box.
Not something you normally think of, but it could have uses.
Yeah, there's a lot of applications. OrganiBliss, that's a new product that is coming to market. It's a foliar spray. It's a fertilizer that they say that it produces about 4 times the growth rate on a plant, and also the fruitage if it's on vegetables or tomatoes or something like that. 4 times the fruit, 4 times the plant size than used without it. And then it also is a natural insecticide and pest repellent at the same time. It's made from the neem tree from Africa, from neem tree oil. And
which you could spray from your ultralight.
You could. And
about just keep getting back to that, but you've got a whole. I mean, these are not typically. I'm sure there are some that you'd obviously think of. Mm-hmm. People like the co-op and stuff would be there because they have marketing that farmers need and stuff like that. But you have some rather unique ones here.
Oh, definitely. Country Smokehouse, they're a processor, but they do a full line of really excellent quality. Anything with smoked meats, the summer sausage, bratwurst, anything smoked.
You could be a restaurant, a store wanting to sell that brand. I mean, just to offer something more to your people. I mean, come on, see it.
And the quality is phenomenal. Setcher, site specific, they do soil testing, and then they also do a lot with the new GPS and satellite mapping technology. So they can come out, to the farm, go out there in the fields, do this spot testing for whatever type of nutrients that you're testing for. Say it's nitrogen. I'm just even making something. And they do test the whole field for the nitrogen content. Then they put those into their GPS mapping systems and satellite mapping systems. And then they also will sell the equipment that then connects with the sprayers and the applicating equipment that applies the fertilizers and that type of thing, so that it only applies what's needed. It adjusts automatically for the terrain, and they said they can save the dry application fertilizer up to 100 pounds an acre. They can save by doing it this way instead of just blanket that it only applies what's needed in that part of the ground.
Well, and it also has other benefits for the rest of the area, because when you over fertilize, it tends to run off. It goes into the ditch, out to the bay, and then we get the algae blooms and the muck and the stuff that we don't want, and we all want to keep that to a minimum as well. And by using these types of services, you can minimize that. Yeah. You just apply where it's needed.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's good financially and economically. It's good environmentally. I mean, you can't go wrong. I mean, it's good in so many different ways.
And it's just so good to talk about when you're trying to up your neighbor as to how, I can do this. I have my specialty done this way. And it's you can brag yourself up good.
That's right. We've got Nature's Best Topsoil and Compost. And they take some of the waste product from Michigan Sugar. And they take manure and other waste product from other farms. And then they compost that, and then they sell this line of organic compost. A lot of the organic vegetable growers use that in fertilizing their organic vegetable crops.
because they have to rely on the organic sources, and they're, you know, and people get upset when you apply too much manure to a field, and a lot of times these types of programs have worked out much of the smell.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the last company that's pitching is Star of the West Milling, and they, you know, mill a whole, you know, whole line of grain products, and I believe they also do gluten-free, and I believe they work with Mrs. Glee's gluten-free foods and some of the gluten-free products, but they have a whole line of milling and the grain products and flours. And
where you can make contacts if you want to, if you have the crops, if you need the after-processed stuff, all of that you can work on with these people.
Exactly. Or if you're, you know, producing some type of a baked good and you need to purchase flour in large quantities, you know, it's right there.
Terrific. And they each get, you say, like 10, 15 minutes?
Each one has 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
To pitch what they are producing. And then also pitch, part of that is also what they're sourcing. Because, like I said, our goal is to get that two-way communication that products will be purchased and sourced from right here in the Thumb and right here in Michigan. Instead of, if there's something that's sourced from, you know, out of the area, let's keep bringing it home. Bring it back here to the local area, and let's work together to help all of our businesses grow.
Now, obviously, you're focusing on area businesses to make the pitches. Are you inviting people from beyond the Thumb to be part of this? Because you can make contacts in other parts of the state where they may not have these particular things available.
We are inviting people from all over the state to come. And we have people that are coming from all over. One that is going to be there that's coming to mind, company is called Gantech. And they are also another high tech form of fertilizer, and they're coming from, I believe it's I may not have this exactly, towards Kalamazoo area, where they're coming from. I know they're going to be there in attendance. A bunch of other companies from all over the state, you know, will be there to hear the pitches. So yeah, we want that all over, you know, attendance.
Is this something ThumbWorks dreamed up? Is this something that's been done elsewhere around the country that you heard of and thought, hey, we should be doing this?
This is our director, Myers' creation. He is so creative, and he's well-respected around the entire state as far as workforce development. This is his creation. I don't know of anyone else around the state doing anything like this, especially not the Thumb or the Michigan Works type agencies. I believe we're the only ones doing anything
like this. Does Michigan Works share your successes with each other to give other people ideas? Because, you know, it sounds like this would work in other parts of the state as well.
Absolutely. They have forums where the directors' councils, where they get together and they share their best practices. And Marv actually has been invited to speak all over the country on different, tell them about the different creative and out-of-the-box things that we do. And so, yeah, the word does get out, and we do share what we do with others to help spread the word.
Now, this is going to be when again?
It's going to be on Wednesday, December 5th.
So that'd be a week from today.
A week from today. It starts at 4 p.m. and it goes until 8 p.m. So there's plenty of time to network.
And this is at ThumbWorks in Marlette?
Yes. Yes.
Where is that? Right on the main drag? Do you have to know where to turn?
The address is 3270 Wilson Street. And if you are coming from the north, you would, if you see, it's called Lovemore Ice Cream on the left. It's just before the railroad tracks. Turn left at that corner, and then it's the two-story brick building that's behind that. If you're coming from the south, just go over the railroad tracks, turn right at the next street, and again, it's the two-story brick building that's behind that location. And
get there a little early and you get the best seat.
That's right. That's right. You got to be there early because there's plenty of time to network.
Are they going to set up the displays before? You know, I mean, if you came, say, it starts at, you know, it starts at 4. If you got there like 3:30 or so, you get a chance to go around the place and see what's there. And then when the guy comes up, you can kind of have in mind what you want to hear?
They still may be setting up at that point. Some of them might be setting up. Hopefully they'll be all set up by that point. But, you know, if people get there early, they would just, you know, have to take their chances at who's set up yet or not, but we would never turn anybody away.
Well, that's always good to hear.
Yeah.
And have you got something after agriculture you're thinking of? You did manufacturing, mm-hmm. you did agriculture. Are you going to do, like, tourism or something, or something different? Or?
Well, I haven't discussed that with Marv, so we'll have to stay tuned on that.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure we'll have something else creative coming along, you know, with this, because these trade shows, they've been quite successful, and I have no doubts that this will be as successful or more so than the manufacturing one. And so we'll keep that momentum going. We'll just have to stay tuned and see what new is coming along those lines.
What counties does Thumbworks basically handle? You're on
Sanilac, Tuscola, and Lapeer.
And Lapeer, the four counties that yes. most of us call the Thumb, but mm-hmm. people in St. Clair, they call themselves Thumb and other people, so we have foster children.
That's right. That's right. We can adopt others.
There you go.
We can adopt them into the Thumb.
Now, obviously, this isn't the only thing you have going. What other types of things is Thumb Works up to these days?
Sure. Well, we always have the virtual job fair the last Tuesday of every month, and we just had that yesterday, and another great showing with that.
I understand they keep those online, so if you missed it, you can go online to the Thumb Works site and maybe view it.
You won't be
able to be interactive, but at least you can see what was said? Or
it's actually on our live stream channel.
Live stream channel.
Yeah. It's livestream.com/thumbworks1.
Thumbworks1.
But now this password protected, so they would have to contact us for the password.
Well, yeah, I understand you want businesses. Yeah. You don't want just everybody, jamming up your servers.
Yeah.
I want to see Uncle Bob do this and, that type of thing.
That's right. And we do that for people's protection as well. Because if you're the interviewer, you don't want that whole scenario. Oh, this is Uncle. Look, I want to go see Uncle Bob, like you just said. You want to know that it is businesses that are seeing me, and it's and so we keep that, so we know that it's businesses that are viewing the people, not just who knows what. And passing the passwords.
And you're giving kind of some personal information about yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not giving social security numbers or anything, but still, you're trying to be as personable as you can to make a connection.
That's right. That's right. So they know that it's getting the results that's intended.
And you said you had one yesterday, but you won't have one in December. The holidays fall in that area, so you'll take a little holiday break yourself.
We will. So we'll be back the last Tuesday in January with our next virtual job fair. And anyone that would like to do that, just give us a call at Thumbworks, one of our service centers, or our office in Marlette.
Are they general job fairs, or do you target one time for manufacturing, one time for agriculture? Because mm-hmm. the needs are different for different businesses.
Actually, we do both. The bulk of them are general, mm-hmm. but we do targeted ones every year. We do one for agriculture, one for manufacturing, one for healthcare. And those are the three that we've done targeted ones for so far. So we will continue to do that. I haven't been informed if we're doing when our next targeted one will be. So January will probably be a general one.
Well, you want to target closer to, like, agriculture. You'd want it in the spring when people are going to be looking for more workers and such.
Exactly.
That type of thing.
Exactly. We try to time it when the market needs.
Okay. And other things coming up with Thumbworks?
Yes. We have on Friday, January 25th, we have our fifth annual Women in Agribusiness Conference. And these are very well attended. We have close to 100 ladies that have been coming. And they really enjoy it. We've got a lot of different guest speakers that we have come. And we wrap up with provide a nice lunch for them. And it's just a great day to network and to hear some new ideas of things that are going on in agriculture. And if anyone would like to attend, again, please just let us know. We would love to have anyone that's interested, any of the ladies around the Thumb that want to come and be part of this, please join us.
Because a lot of ladies are in businesses with agriculture. A lot of ladies on the farm take care of the books. They do a lot of the stuff to free up other family members to do other things. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole diverse group of people when you talk about women in agribusiness.
Absolutely. If we're honest, most of the farms couldn't operate without the ladies. They keep them running. And they're very important. And So that's why we offer, you know, offer this event, and it's been very well received. And
And what basically do you do at this conference? Are you looking at resources that women in agribusiness can access, or is it more of a support type of thing that, yeah, we're ladies in agriculture and the other guys are lazy? I mean, how does it work? Is this another connection type of thing?
Part of it is networking. It's a lot. We have a keynote speaker and then other speakers. Primarily, it's coming to hear what the speakers, you know, have to say. But the keynote speaker this time is Jim Byram, the president of the Michigan Agribusiness Association. And so he's going to be talking about the future trends coming for Michigan agribusiness. And he's got a new project. It's called Project 2025, all based on, you know, what are the future trends in agribusiness. And so that's going to be the keynote, talking about the future trends. And then some of the other speakers we have, we've got people coming to talk about the role of the FFA and the future of that and how that's going to continue. We've got the local health department coming to talk about some of the issues. We've got someone coming to talk about some veterinary science, and we also have someone coming to talk about technology and computer issues related to farming.
So is there a main speaker, and then you can select other areas to go to, like mini conferences on, that type of thing?
Exactly.
Those that interest you, that are in your the field that you're in agribusiness?
Exactly. We have different breakout sessions. So the other ones are breakout sessions. The main keynote speaker is the president of the Agribusiness Association. Then the others are breakout sessions, and they would have their choice to go to two of the four breakout sessions.
Do you need to pre-register so you know how many are coming and how many are coming to each breakout session to know if you need more chairs or you need more speakers?
Again, we won't turn anyone away, but yes, we do appreciate the pre-registration, and just to make it run more smoothly and effectively. So yes, we would ask people to pre-register for that as well.
And is this a morning affair and an all-day do, or?
It starts at 8:30 in the morning and runs until noon, and we provide lunch at noon. So noon 30, probably 12:30 when people get done eating their lunch.
Terrific.
So yeah, it's a good day. We've got a lot of ladies that come, and we'd like to have even more. So, you know, if any of the listeners, please come, give us a call, let us know that you're planning on attending.
And you can get more info at any of your ThumbWorks offices. We've got one in Bad Axe, you've got one in all the counties that you do, and so it doesn't have to be the longest distance call or easy to find. They're in your home county.
Nope. Also, our webpage, thumbworks.org, they can find information about all these events right on our webpage.
Terrific.
And we also have a Facebook. But I believe that's Thumb Area Job. The actual name of the Facebook page is actually escaping me right now. I guess I should not have brought that up.
Well, maybe you can search Facebook for ThumbWorks.
Yes, ThumbWorks has a Facebook page as well, yes.
And you can find it and get more info there, and they can even like you.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. Very nice.
Well, I hope you get a good turnout on all of these things.
Thank you.
You're coming into another new year, do you find you're changing focuses now that the economy is turning around a little bit, or are we still, because I've known ThumbWorks for a long, long time, and their focus has changed based on the needs in the area, and they change based on the economy and specials and how business is doing.
Absolutely. We do our absolute very best to respond to the needs in the community, especially in the business community. And as far as some variations that might be happening, we're seeing that the hiring is picking up, so we're focusing on, you know, helping with those needs. There are some of the manufacturing jobs that are opening that we're finding difficulty in filling, some of the positions that people maybe don't have the right skill set. And so we are starting a pre-manufacturing training program, and we've held our first cohort. We've ran one round of classes for that so far, and we'll be having that coming up here again. We'll run our second round of the manufacturing training program, and it just covers basic things like blueprint reading, shop math, shop safety, some operation of different types of machines, And so if people are interested in doing some of that, then they could just contact one of our local service centers and inquire about the manufacturing training program. So that's one of the things that we're doing in response to the need of, you know, a lot of increase in manufacturing, you know, jobs, but maybe not the matchup with the right skill sets.
Now, so, in the past, I know you guys have done this on an individual basis for a business, but there usually has to be enough jobs available, you know, to make it worth your while. You're not going to do this for two. I mean, you want to make sure that, you know, you're getting the biggest bang for your buck, too. But if an employer out there has needs, if they contact you, you may be able to find programs and services that can help them, maybe materials that they can use in training on-site for themselves, all these things that, you know, if you need a resource, that's what you're there for.
Absolutely. We're there to be a resource for whatever. We can't be everything to everybody, but we're something for everybody. And, you know, we help to get businesses connected with whatever resources that they need. If they have questions about training or whatever, you know, we will work with them. We help them with their hiring as much as possible and making that process smoother. And if they contact us, you know, we'll figure out a way to either make something happen or get them connected to another resource that can help them with whatever that need is.
You hate to see jobs disappear when they don't have to. That could be giving somebody here a good living.
Yes. And that is one good thing. Other than some of the seasonal, you know, layoffs, there haven't been much. The jobs have not been disappearing lately. People have been hiring. And it's not been huge numbers. Some have been, you know, up in the 20 and 30, 40 at a time range. But, you know, going up is better than going down. And there's hiring going on right now.
And it gives the locals hope that, you know, maybe the kids can move back a bit closer to home if there's jobs available that they can raise their families on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. You know, I'm glad you said that. You reminded me of something else that we're doing. Talk about responding to needs in the community. We recently held a series of focus groups with local thermary manufacturers and talking about this need for, you know, the workforce. We're needing to hire people, but we're not having the right workforce. And a lot of younger people are not thinking of manufacturing as a career that they want to go into, and especially staying locally and working in manufacturing. And so we're doing something going into the high schools. We're calling it Life After High School. And we're inviting manufacturers that kind of surround that school. And we're bringing in four manufacturers at a time into a local high school. And then we're having the juniors and seniors come in and meet with these manufacturers, and they're getting basically explaining to them what we do. These are the job opportunities that we have. These are the new high-tech things that we do. You know, it's manufacturing isn't what you used to think of. It's, you know, dark and dirty and smoky and loud and you know, not a good and very fun environment to be in.
A lot of the stuff today has to be very clean, just so you don't contaminate something that'll ruin the whole project down the line.
Exactly. And so they're coming in, they're showing the high-tech things they do and the robotics and the computers. And this is why, you know, manufacturing is cool. You know, look at all these things you can do. And we're bringing that into the schools and just to try and get the word out that you should consider, you know, looking at manufacturing. There are some good opportunities. You should consider when you get out of school, not thinking, well, I've got to move out of the thumb. You know, I've got to get out of Dodge, you know, when I graduate from high school. No, you don't. There's great opportunities right here at home, right here in your own backyard. And so we've been, you know, trying to make that connection in the community.
And today, no matter what profession you get into, whether it's manufacturing, tech, or needing a college degree, continuing education is going to be a part of it, because it just seems to advance so quickly from, you know, DOS to Windows to all the other computer things that have gone on in the last 20 years.
Absolutely. The worker today, if they don't continuously upgrade their skills in some form or fashion, they'll get left behind. It's just the nature of the world is you've got to be continuously updating your skills in some way, keeping abreast of the new software, the new social media, the new whatever is new in your particular industry. You've got to keep up with it.
Because the deer in the headlight face when they bring in a brand new piece of equipment and you having a clue is not going to go over well.
No. It doesn't last long. And so the ability to learn quickly, that's one of the biggest things that employers are looking for, is that ability to learn, to grow, also to be able to solve problems, to be able to look at situations creatively and maybe think of new solutions. Not just say, well, this is how we've always done it, so this is how we've always got to do it. But no, we need to come up with new solutions to new problems and new challenges.
Does part of what Thumb Works deal with is work ethic? Because I hear a lot of complaints that, you know, yeah, we get mm-hmm. people in the door, but they don't want to stay because there's work involved.
Mm-hmm. We hear that. We do whatever we can to influence the whole issue of work ethic and
realistic ideas going in.
Yeah. We do everything that we can to influence people to have the good work ethic and what it takes to be successful and to be a good employee and to provide that value to companies. But, I mean, in the end, it comes down to people's individual attitudes and, you know, what it is that they want out of life and what they want to produce and the value they want to give. And we do our part. But in the end, it's up to people to decide what kind of value they want to give to their employer and to their community.
Do people nowadays have to be better at selling themselves and how they perceive themselves? I mean, in the old days, you know, if you got a job at GM, you had a job for life and here you go, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. But mm-hmm. nowadays, you have to promote yourself. You have to, if you want to advance, maybe you have mm-hmm. to show some initiative. Or if you're looking for a change, you have to be able to go out and be confident. And so is it a whole different world out there?
It is. People do have to. They have to have that confidence. They have to have that belief in themselves. And that's where the hard work is people, for them to analyze themselves, figure out, what do I truly have to offer? And then do the research into the businesses that they think they may want to research or work for and find out what do they need, and then make that connection. Well, they have this need. I have this thing that I'm very confident that I can offer to that need, and then go out there and go after it and sell them on that. And it's got to be about benefits. You know, what value am I going to bring to your company? And it's so competitive that, yeah, people have to be able to confidently go out there and sell themselves.
I believe in the past you folks have told me that when you guys are helping people with resumes, they get surprised as to how many skills they actually really have based on the work they were doing before.
Yeah. Well, it's human nature to kind of short sell ourselves. We're tougher on, we're our own worst critic, and we don't give ourselves credit. You know, where credit is due a lot of times. We like to be modest, so we don't...
Well, we don't want like to be the other way, you know,
exactly.
Stuck up and you know, I can't do no wrong.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, they have to come across as confident, but not self-important. When they get to that point where they become self-important, that's where it comes a little too far on the other side. And arrogant, you know, they can't come across that way.
Because bosses
either.
Pick up on that either,
oh,
and
yeah.
you know, and they don't want to have to fight for who's alpha dog here, because I already am. I'm the boss.
That's right. I'm the big dog. You remember that? Yeah. They don't want to fight for that position.
All right. If they Absolutely. Have any questions on any of the things we've talked of today, they can contact Michigan Works, the local office in Bad Axe or Marlette. Mm-hmm. If they have needs, if they're out of work and they need job skill. Help, or at least writing a resume, all that kind of stuff is available through ThumbWorks.
Absolutely.
It's a service out there. Utilize it and help yourself and your family.
Exactly. We've got all these services available. They're all free of charge. Take advantage of whatever will be of benefit to you. Take advantage of it. And don't leave it behind. And for all those things, for the resume writing, for all those things, come to the office here in Bad Axe or the one in Carroll. We have one in Sandusky and one in Lapeer. Any of those offices, you know, feel free to walk into any of those 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. They would love to help you with any of those things. If you're a business that, you know, would like more information about the Pitch and Catch or the Women in Agribusiness, you want to come attend these, call our office in Marlette at 989-635-3561. And my extension is 227, and give me a call. We'll get you set up. We'll get you registered to come to any of these events, especially the agribusiness. If you have any interest or any connection agribusiness at all, please come to our Pitch and Catch trade show. I think you'll really be impressed, and you'll have a good time.
A week from today.
A week from today. 4 to 7 p.m. or 4 to 8 p.m. when they when it actually wraps up. And
and it's in Marlette and at your office.
That's right.
Thanks for being with us, and I hope you get a good turnout.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Our guest today on the program has been Eldon Preston. He's the Business Services Liaison for Thumb Works. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.